We are very pleased to be joined by our good buddy, Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine. You can also read him each month in Golf Digest, and you can watch him every day, practically, on the Golf Channel. And he's been doing yeoman's work this week in Augusta National. Tim, good morning to you. Happy Easter Sunday. Happy Masters Sunday.
Morning, Russ. Morning, Pat. Happy Easter, everybody back in Palm Beach County. And miss you guys. We'll be home tomorrow, but this is my 27th Masters, so I'm not quite Gary Player, but I've spent at least half a year of my life here anyway.
You're not
Russ, so, you know, it's quite a treat to be here on a Masters Sunday.
Not quite Gary Player, but you're almost a Fuzzy Zeller, so there you go.
There you go.
That's good stuff. But, Tim, as we take a look at this leaderboard, it's an awfully good-looking leaderboard after 54 holes. You got big names like Angel Cabrera and Kenny Perry. Jim Furyk is in the mix, Rory Sabatini, and then it seems like minus four is that magical number where you've got even bigger names like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. This is shaping up to be a very, very entertaining final round today.
Yeah, even without Woods and Mickelson on the first page of the leaderboard, it's six groups from the end paired together. You know, we've wanted them to be together. We've wanted this matchup. We just didn't want it in a inconsequential position. I don't think with Cabrera and Perry at 11 and Campbell at 9 and Furyk at 8, I don't know if there's enough there or if there is too much there for Woods or Mickelson to overcome, especially playing together with the chemistry between the two of them. They tried to get me to make something about the Woods, Stevie Williams, Mickelson, Bones McKay thing last night in the Golf Channel. And, you know, I really don't want to go there. I'd rather just see Woods and Mickelson play today and see what they can produce. But I historically, and there have been a bunch of matchups between the two of them in final rounds, and I don't even know I'm sure Tiger's got the advantage on it. Mickelson has beat him. But I don't know if the situations like this produce the best golf, to tell you the truth. I don't know if Tiger was alone today, or Mickelson was alone, if they'd have a better chance of shooting 65, which is really what it's going to take for either one to get even legitimately close to the lead to make a move. So we got the pairing we want, Russ, but unfortunately I think it's going to be a sidebar today more than the lead to the game story.
Tim, I haven't been watching Phil's swing as closely, but it looks like Tiger is fighting a bunch of stuff with his swing. You know, he's kind of spraying the ball like, you know, he's apt to do every once in a while, especially in these majors. Is the swing going to be too much of an issue, almost, aside from the fact that he's seven shots back for a realistic chance, from what you've seen, for Tiger to come back today?
Had I go back the first couple of days here, I thought he was hitting it pretty well, both statistically, and you think about where he was in position at the end of that first round, where he had birdie putts at 16 and 17 to get it to 4 under. Actually to 5 under at that point. He makes both of those. He lips out one. He doesn't make a very good effort at 16. And then he's got short iron in his hands into 18, and it looked like a distance control issue like the old days, like 97, 98, 99. Blows it over the green. Makes bogey. Next day, rips it up 18. Has some momentum going. Again, makes bogey again. Misses the green with a 9 iron that day. Yesterday, missed the green again at 18, but got it up and down with a big putt. At the time, everybody was, when he was standing over that putt, everybody's thinking, well, this putt's either he's going to keep him in it or he's done. He made the putt, but he still may not have what it takes, or there must be too much distance for him to close the gap, especially because, to your point, yesterday he did look like he was fighting that swing. We saw him hit it out of pine straw, as we did Mickelson at 18. What an unbelievable shot there. But, you know, Tiger's just hasn't been able to, he was able to put it together those first two rounds here and draw in some energy. I think he'd be right there, but he didn't close those first two rounds out, and then yesterday didn't have a very good day.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, joined on the line by Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine. You can also read him in Golf Digest and watch him on the Golf Channel. He is live in Augusta, Georgia, in advance of today's final round of the 73rd Masters Tournament. And Tim, I'm curious what the sentiment is between your peers up there, because it seems to me like it's been a fun first 3 days of this tournament. We've been talking about, you know, we haven't really seen that back nine magic since 2004, and the last couple of Masters have been somewhat less than entertaining, but we've got a Masters this week where we saw scoring records on Thursday. Chad Campbell, 5 straight birdies to begin his week. We saw Anthony Kim with 11 birdies on Friday, a Masters record for eagles on Friday. I would think that most people are somewhat happy with what we've seen so far.
A lot of it's conditions based, and And to that point, Billy Payne is right. The last 2 years here, you know, I'll drink the Kool-Aid on the green Kool-Aid on that one, to tell you the truth, Russ, and say that much of what we saw or didn't hear the last couple of years in terms of volume was dictated by the conditions. But to the credit of Chairman Payne and the committees here and the whole presentation of this golf tournament, they have let the guys play this year, and the result is exactly what you said. It's been a fun Masters, an exciting Masters. You know, it may not hit the mainstream ESPN golf audience because Tiger's not on top of that leaderboard. I guess that's the only buzzkill now. But as it relates to the golf, and if you're really into the game and you know who Cabrera is and you know the backstory of Kenny Perry and the frustrations of Jim Furyk and how close he's come in majors, and right on down that leaderboard, there's enough to keep you make an appointment TV this afternoon when you sit down. I trust it's another beautiful day up here, calm conditions again, not like the first couple of days, not like Friday certainly when the wind was gusting. I anticipate a shootout today. It's just probably not going to be between the principal characters that everyone wants, and in part that was why the perception of last year was not great, because nobody really knew Trevor Immelman. They didn't really wrap their heads around the story of what he had gone through and the backstory with him and Gary Player and the illness. So a lot of it is who's doing the shooting. And, you know, hopefully this year Cabrera, Perry, Campbell, Furyk, Stricker, Hamilton, even Katayama can put on a show and make some more birdies and continue to make this exciting.
Hey, Tim, we had Arnold Palmer on last week, and I made the now idiotic comment that with Augusta's length and hearing Greg Norman's comments before he played that it's too long for him now, he can't compete there, that a guy maybe over the age of 40 is going to have a tough time, you know, winning this tournament just because of the length of the thing. And, of course, now Kenny Perry, you know, looks like he might win the thing. How is Kenny Perry doing this at age 48 with his track record at Augusta, which is not good? What's come together for him this week that you've seen or talked to him about that he's been able to compete at this level?
Well, even at 48, you got to look at Kenny Perry as a new Kenny Perry, the one we're seeing on the golf course now. He is it's funny, we always use the model for golf in their 40s as Vijay Singh, the guy who's in the gym three times a day, hitting balls, doing all the right things, training all the time. And here's Kenny Perry, the only real weights he's lifted are wrenches for his funny cars, his dragsters and his hot rods. He is not a guy who was really filled with confidence 3 or 4 years ago, but last year, what, he only played one round in a major championship. Not one major championship, one round, because he wasn't eligible for he wasn't eligible for two of them. As you know, the Masters, he didn't qualify for the U.S. Open. He skipped the British Open, and he pulled out of the PGA. And then went on to make the Ryder Cup team. That kind of gave him a new life. It showed what he's capable of doing, that when the heat was on him, he produced what he had to produce, not only to make the team, but also at the event itself. He had wiped out, dynamited a legacy, as Rich Lerner would use one of his phrases, by playing so well in that Ryder Cup and wiping out the 96 PGA Championship, where he was in over his head against Mark Brooks and lost that playoff there in his home state. So, and now everybody, I think, Pat, you know about his dad back in Franklin, Kentucky, behind the counter at Country Creek. You know his mom's not doing well with cancer. You know the story about what a great guy this is, how his father, you know, was very much like Earl Woods, bringing him up and pushing him to this day, and how he wants that green jacket so they can ride in the Kentucky Derby parade a couple weeks right down to Main Street, Louisville, with Kenny wearing that jacket and his father probably in the overalls too. So, you know, if you follow golf, you know all this now. You know Kenny's become a proven player, you know, the model of consistency in his 40s, right behind Vijay, and that we've seen him make big putts in Arnold's tournaments and Jack's tournaments. So he can win in a big-time situation. And I think this pairing's good for him, too, with Cabrera, Campbell right around him, Furyk right there. He's not going to hear or feel the Tiger Woods machine rolling at him, at least not from up close. And all these things favor well for him. He's the sentimental favorite going into today.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, joined on the line by Tim Rosefort, senior writer, Golf World Magazine. Tim is live in Augusta, Georgia this morning in advance of today's final round of the 73rd Masters Tournament. And Tim, last thing for you before we let you go. Obviously, us in the media, we're allowed to root for the story, not necessarily the players themselves, but rooting for a good story. And there's no doubt that Greg Norman, having if he had made the cut and played this weekend, would have been a great story. How disappointed were you that Greg Norman missed the cut by a couple strokes on Friday?
Pretty bummed. It was I was with Greg when he walked out of the locker room. My timing on this one wasn't great. I had got up there late, and he was actually grabbing his bags and walking out the door. And the locker room has changed over the course of time, but I've been in that situation with Greg after the 3 second place finishes and after all the disappointment up here. And this one was different. I mean, he was really, maybe he had been talked out at that point, but when I caught him, he was pretty much at a loss for words, and I've known him for 25 years now, pretty close. And we got out to the parking lot right outside the clubhouse, and Chris was there in a cart, and you know, he got in the back and talking to the locker room attendants and thanking them, and you know, his final words as he drove out was "C'est la vie," and that was really about all he could say. I mean, he didn't really want to go beyond that because I don't know if he was too emotional or whatever it was, or he was too mad because he let that back nine go. But it was kind of a sadly typical departure for Greg at this place. And, you know, c'est la vie. It is what it is. And he's had a great career and a Hall of Fame career. And it's not over in many regards with the President's Cup coming up. It is too bad that it ended that way. And in a big picture, it sort of got lost in Gary Player's final day here, Fuzzy Zeller's final day here. Them going out as champions, them being able to come back to go to the champions dinner, to play in the par three. Well, Greg can play in the par three, but to come back here and feel a part of that champions locker room, it was a sad day in that regard for Greg to walk out on that note. But again, a great champion, and he'll be all right. He's got a lot going for him.
Absolutely. You mentioned that there's definitely a next chapter as far as Greg Norman's concerned later this year at the President's Cup. We know that for sure. Freddie Couples will be captaining up the Americans while Greg Norman is in charge of the Internationals. But we'll wait and see what happens in regards to his playing career, and we'll definitely hope to see Greg Norman in the fray very soon. He is Tim Rosen.
Hey, Russ, you know, he's back in the British Open. Maybe he can top whatever it again and then get back here next year.
That's right.
We're going to Turnberry where he won, and, you know, in a way, I hate to wish that on him because he's already what he went through this year and the preparation and then the heartbreak again. But never know. I mean, we saw him from the neck down. The guy looked pretty good. And between his ears, he still knows how to compete. So,
you know,
Turnberry, if with all things going right, it's probably not over, to say the truth. He may end up walking in here again.
I really think if he could play the way he played at Birkdale last year, he could compete in the Masters. I think he could have been in the mix if we had saw the same Greg Norman we saw last July, but unfortunately we didn't see that.
I don't know what happened on the back nine. I mean, he was right there, obviously, through 18 holes. He was there through 27 holes. And, again, he's not going to get it to 11 under on this golf course, but he was close to kind of stay in, and he was on the verge of contention there before he let it go in the last nine holes. So, again, it was not that far away from being respectable for Greg, and it certainly was more than respectable the first day.
He is a very good friend of the program, Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine. You can also read him each month in Golf Digest and watch him pretty much every single night on the Golf Channel. Tim, we always love having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time, and safe travels to you back to South Florida.
My pleasure, Russ. Make sure I got some good weather back there because I haven't touched the clubs in a week and I'm ready to go. Okay?
All right. Sounds good. I'll do what I can. There he is, Tim Rosefort, good friend of the program, joining us here on Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. And, you know, I think he's more in your boat than he is in mine, Pat, in regards to Tiger and Phil. He's of the opinion that they're just too far back. And I think he realizes they could put up a number like 64 or 65, but it just doesn't think there's going to be any falter in the guys like Cabrera and Perry and Campbell and Furyk up at the top.
Yeah, that's why I like talking to Tim, because he really, I think, gives you a true perspective of what's going on, what he sees. You know, Tim's not one for, you know, just let's jump on the Tiger or Phil bandwagon and say these guys can do it and blah, blah, blah. If he really thought they could, I think Tim would have said that. He's like, look, he's very close. He's just missing putts. you know, the greens are receptive, whatever. But I didn't get any indication from him that he thought either Tiger or Phil or anybody in that minus four category really could make a run on these guys, probably because of just what you and I were talking about with the consistency of Perry and really of Cabrera and how well they've done. It just, you know, again, never say never with Tiger. But at some point, you just have to say you're probably too far back.
Right.
And with the guys in front of you being the types of players they are, it might be too
difficult. That's the thing. I think it's more a thing of mathematics, too far back, and the guys at the top are not going to falter enough, more so than, now Tiger can't go out today and shoot a 64. It's more so, well, even if he does, he'll need Perry to shoot a 71. That's not going to happen.
It'll be interesting when we talk to Ian Baker Finch, because he's another guy whose opinion I respect. I believe when we had him on one time, Tiger was leading in a tournament, and he said somebody can come back and catch him, or something, and he did. So I think you know, when you hear from these guys that are there, they're on the ground, they're watching these guys, and they've watched them repeatedly over a long time. They really have a great perspective on what they think can happen.
That's why we have these guys on the show to get their opinions.
Me and you don't, so that's why we bring them on.